You're listening to Dream Home Experts on 216 The Net. I'm Mike.
I'm Keith.
I'm Vic.
And I'm Bear.
We are the Dream Home Experts.
All right, we're back.
Back?
Yeah.
What's
we're
up, Mike?
We're down a guy.
Yeah, we are. Mr. Bear is is feeling under the weather, so he took the proper precautions and decided not to show up today.
Yeah.
For good reasons, not anything bad. So
it's just going to be us, and Bear's actually going to be handling the comments on there. I've also got it up, so if I see anybody, I can give a shout out to. So. So we're talking a little bit about cold weather snap prep.
Yeah, we've the last 2 weeks, it's been brutal. I mean, what did they get down to, like, the worst? Definitely it was like -5, I want to say.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cold. It was. It's been a fun 2 weeks. I'm sure that Bear's probably had a fun time at work, too. We've been very busy also.
Yeah.
So
Bear commented, sorry, boys. Or sorry, bros. So.
No worries. No worries. It's okay. We got it. We're under control here.
Absolutely. So, yeah. We do miss you having here, though. So
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, it was pretty cold. Lots of calls.
Frozen pipes, pipe breaks.
Yeah, it was, and the dreaded ice damming too.
Yeah, yeah.
Some frozen sump pump lines.
Yeah, we had a few of those. That was fun, but I mean, we got through it. I mean, that's the most important thing here, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is why we want to talk about it, because it, we just need to educate people on how to correct these issues, on making sure that they don't have frozen pipes and pipes break in their home and everything like that. So,
yeah, making sure that they're things that we can do beforehand next time when we're having that is definitely what we want to talk about.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about some of the examples that we've had going on in the last couple of weeks with us.
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So,
and then on the next time, hopefully we'll have Bear and one of his guys to be able to talk about the HVAC side of this.
Yeah. I wonder how that's been.
I'm sure it's been crazy for him.
Yeah. So I will find out next week or in the following week.
Absolutely. So, frozen discharge pipes. Let's start with there.
Yeah.
You were on a couple of them, weren't you?
Yeah. We had a couple of them where there was frozen discharges with the sump pumps where pretty much what ends up happening is it gets frozen in between the foundation wall and the inside. So, you know, there's not a lot of pitch on the line going outside, and that's what the hard part is that, you know, especially when you're drilling the hole through the wall, you really have to mind the fact that when you're drilling through it, whether if it's concrete or just siding on the wall, you want to make sure that you're going to have pitch. Just because you're blowing a hole in the wall doesn't mean that it's just a hole in the wall. You know, we got to design that.
Let it drain.
Yeah. So,
the other thing is when people put those flexible hoses on it, the inch and a half flexies to get them away from the house.
Yeah. That is a big factor people have a tendency, I think everybody has a tendency to, when they do that, they just throw it out. You know, they're throwing it out there and they think just, it'll drain itself.
Right.
Well, if you're defying gravity, that's not going to help it. And I think that sometimes everybody's home is laid out differently in the lay of the land.
Right.
So that's kind of, that's the biggest fight that you have to figure out.
I think, just not going into a smaller pipe is definitely the key, and the corrugated part of that discharge pipe. You don't really want to use small discharge on that. So going into a larger, having an air gap, having multiple holes going through the wall, having that redundancy is very important.
Right.
if you want to protect your house from flooding and freezing weather.
And what do you, just so that people understand it, so air gap, explain how that air gap works.
You just want, where it discharges, you want a little bit of space before it goes into another pipe. So it kind of is going through the air, the gap in the air through the pipe to go from a larger to a smaller to get it away from the house.
Yeah.
So whether you're going from the 1.5 inch or 2 inch coming through the wall, you want to go up to 3-4 inch pipe.
Larger capacity, it's going to be able to hold onto more. It's going to be able to take on more water.
Right.
Yeah, seeing that with these lines getting frozen and whatnot, you immediately think like, well, is the pump dead? Number one, and you're also thinking if you also have to think, well, is the line frozen? Well, if the pump is just pumping, it's just going to pump on itself, and it's going to eventually burn out. We've had those cases in the last 2 weeks, and then we actually have a tool that works out well for us is called an Arctic Blaster.
Arctic Blaster! So I love it.
what the Arctic Blaster is, it's a vessel that, it's a steel box that has a chamber in the middle of it to where you could take a simple roofer's torch and a propane tank. You have a propane tank several feet away from the unit, and it has a long hose. At the other end of this steel box, it has... you take a hose that's pretty much just radiator hose.
Right.
You fill this capacity. You fill it up with 2 gallons of water. You apply the heat to it, creates steam. And then what happens with the steam? It melts the ice.
Yeah, you can put it in water services. You can put it in drain lines. You can put it in different hoses. You don't want to mix and match those.
No.
But you can even just melt the snow on your driveway.
Yeah. Or you can use a flamethrower.
Yeah, seen a few of those going on this on YouTube, on Facebook here. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's been going around since we've had the cold weather, especially prior to that. You know.
So you're listening to Dream Home Experts on 216.net. Also, you can find us on YouTube now.
Yeah.
We are on Facebook, so like, share, subscribe on YouTube. Definitely want try to get the word out for us.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
So, awesome about the Arctic Blaster. I even mentioned you had a little ice dam at home.
I started noticing, and it was just the other day when we had the most recent snowstorm.
Right.
And I got to the shop early, finished up the day early, like went home, and you sit down at the kitchen table, and I'm looking, in the glare, and I'm like, oh, don't tell me that. So I look in. I look at it, and it's just a bubble. So I said, okay, so I'm going to go up in the attic space. I have an attic space. I have a split level, my new home. So I look in, I go into the attic space, and I see this icicle coming down. I'm like, okay, so this has been happening without me knowing it. And I've been noticing, obviously, all the icicles on the gutter.
Right.
So now I have to make the challenge to try to get all that snow off of the top of the roof. That section of my home, so I can alleviate that, and where I'm not going to create any more damage.
Right,
and that's where, and I'm thinking, I'm like, how am I going to get this down? Like, I'm worried that I'm going to fall off the roof, if whatnot.
I would not climb up on the roof. That's not a good idea.
No, I mean, there's.
Well, you just got to wait until Sunday or Monday, and it's going to be nice and warm, and
yeah, get all of that
melts
stuff
all
off.
The way off, and
you yeah,
can just
you know,
pull
I mean,
it right
if
off.
There's some damage, you got to accept it. I mean, it's the worst thing you can think of that you're gonna have damage in your home, but
yeah,
you know, I mean, that's why we're professionals and we could try to fix that,
right?
So, but yeah, the ice damming, we're gonna get to that here in a minute.
Yeah, we're gonna talk a little bit about preventing ice damming and some ideas like that. But I got a pretty good story from this last week.
Yeah,
I had 30 years of experience, or no, 40 years of experience on a job, which I love the guys. They're very, very great plumbers. They're very good experts. They were out there, and it was raining through the first floor ceiling. Mm-hmm. This is a two-story big house. And there was... it was raining out of the laundry room ceiling, just pouring, and they're going through trying to find leaks. We had a guy out with an infrared gun trying to see where we can track down where the water's coming from. Really didn't see anything. They ended up spending almost the whole entire day on the job trying to track this leak down. And I'm like, you know what? Just call it a day today. If the water meter's not spinning, have the homeowner turn off the water at night just to see if it shuts down. I'll come out in the morning. So I went out there with them. And we're putting up some pictures of this guy's roof. It had a massive ice dam on the roof. So you can see it on the gutter, like on the overhang coming down. It was where a couple, three roofs are meeting on there. And I got there. I looked at the ground. The ground was completely covered in ice right below there, right outside the window for that laundry room. If you look up at the soffit, you can see all of the huge icicles hanging. When you got up to the second floor, we looked at it and looked out the window. In that soffit, out of the soffit vent, there was a big icicle coming out of the soffit vent. So then I crawled up into the attic and got around to the corner. So we'll get to that picture where we're in the attic. And I pulled back spider webs because it was completely covered in spider webs. And
Ento's the best.
Oh yeah, beautiful. And there you can see it. It was you can see the flashing, you can see the ice in the flashing, and you can see it coming up and over the flashing onto the decking, which then would make its way down. And then when I had the infrared camera back out there to look it all over, you could see in the corners that's where the water was traveling. You can see it above the vanity inside. You can see it. It was all leaking down right to the laundry room below. It wasn't hardly able to see it visually, but with the infrared gun, you can see it. And surprising enough, when we got back there the second day, it wasn't raining in the laundry room. So that automatically, it got cold again and was first thing in the morning. So it wasn't leaking at that point until the sun probably came up.
And then hit in that spot.
So roofers got out there and took a look at it and are going to get them taken care of.
So, well, that's good. That's good. So at least there's a positive outcome with that so that they can figure out what they need to do in the future.
Absolutely. In a pinch, you know, some of the prevent on this, you had a good one that Mike from America's Best.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mike from America's
Best. Yeah, America's Best. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He said put salt in a pantyhose.
Yeah. I mean, you picture it and you're just like, well, first off, if you're going to go buy pantyhose at the store, if you're a man, that's kind of a hard thing. It's like, that's hard to swallow. I thought about that. I'm like, dude, I'm like, unless I got, you know, my wife has some. I don't even know. But you're taking and you're cutting the legs off and you're just filling it with salt.
Right.
I mean, and you're just throwing it up there. That's, I would say get the snow off the roof first.
Right.
And do that before, and then lay it along the gutter line so you can at least have water to where it's not going to keep creating more icicles.
Right. In the past, I've used, they make these little pucks that you can chuck up on the roof too. If you can't get into your gutter up there.
Mm-hmm.
You just throw it up on the roof, and it worked really good at the last place I was at. So
we have a question from Mary Shep.
Oh.
Can you shovel or salt a roof, or is there a special ice removal process?
Yeah, you can definitely shovel, but I would not get up on the roof.
Yeah, no.
You can use extendable, like long poles with like a scrape or rake or like a snow plow deal that you can pull the snow down.
Right. They actually make it's kind of like it's a foam flat disc. It's like a rectangle that you can actually buy. They sell them for the reason for like cleaning off the snow off the top of your car.
Right.
So you're not scratching your car and such like that. You could do that. You could use a steel rake, but don't use the flat side of the rake.
Or just a brush or a broom or something like that. You can pull it. You want to be really safe up there.
Yeah.
Now that we know that we have these issues, You know, you can start doing some other things to prevent it. You could put the heat guard in the gutters, be able to heat the gutters. You can put it at the bottom part of the roof. You know, there's DIY ways to do it, and there's also professionals that will come out and and set that all up for you.
And if you're going to be trying to do something like that, and if you want to take it upon yourself, really, really, truly, truly do the other research for it first. You know, the power of YouTube is fantastic. Now, I'm a professional in what I do. You bet your ass that I was on YouTube trying to figure out what I can do to correct the situation at my home. I even reached out to America's Best, Mike at America's Best, to try to ask him questions and saying, hey, because what he did was is that on his Facebook page, he was talking about ice damming and the damage. Because what he, you know, obviously he does do the other rebuild stuff.
Right.
You know, if you are not sure about that, call a professional, call a gutter guy, you know, on how they can get that fixed and to make it right. So it's a permanent solution. So you're not constantly having to worry about that.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that's where that's at. And I would say that's the best thing you could do.
Absolutely. And if it's a massive issue where you have multiple peaks and valleys, definitely I would seek engineer or architect to relook at it and refigure exactly how to do it properly.
Of course.
So, because it may need to be repitched a different way. The roofing may need to be done to avoid that.
Right. Exactly.
So... Buttons. What is what we're going to talk about next?
So Brandon asks, how would you remove the ice dam?
That would be the salt, you know, salting it. It would be also, okay, it just popped up. I see it now. Salting it, you would want to, you can use the Arctic Blaster like we do if you find a company. There's companies out there that specifically have the proper equipment to be able to remove it. For a homeowner, it would pretty much be salt.
Yeah, salt. The salt.
I wouldn't throw hot water or try to run a hose from your water heater or anything. That would be too dangerous because hot water does freeze. So you're going to make an even bigger mess.
Yeah, it freezes quite faster than the cold water. So
yeah,
and we can get into the molecular structure of that, but that'll be all night.
So, I hope that answers your question, Brandon. So, heat strips can be installed by professionals. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's right on, Derek. He's commenting on our
electricians.
Yeah, it would be an electrician, I would think. Right, Derek. Yeah. So. Once again, you're listening to, if you're just entering the show, you're listening to Dream Home Experts on 216thenet. Also, check us out on Facebook, YouTube, and all the podcast locations
outlets,
to be able to listen to us. So moving on. What else we want to talk about? Freezing. We had a nice frozen pipe the other day.
I had one yesterday.
Yeah,
so that was an interesting one. It was... the customer actually, I felt so bad for them. The reason being is they literally just moved into the house.
Oh,
so they haven't even moved in. They closed on the house, they bought the house, closed on the house, and then they were gonna try to stay in the house yesterday night. So they had the inspection done on it, so on and so forth. The heat was low. The water was still. The water was on at one time. The water was shut back off, wasn't drained down, and then the heat. Obviously, the heat being that low, and all the faucets were open. So you're allowing air to get in, number one, and then you're allowing with the heat being that low, you're just allowing it for it to freeze.
Yeah.
So I opened up the ceiling. Open up the ceiling, and I find that it was a toilet line. A half-inch supply for a toilet line. That
Vic has a picture of that, right?
Yeah.
So.
And you'll see, you may not, it's very hard to tell in a picture, but where in that picture, you don't see the actual pipe that split. It's actually where the fitting, the backside of a 90 split. Just for you to understand how a fitting and copper works, when they make fittings, they're actually taking the copper and stretching it. And there, the copper is actually thinner on a fitting versus the pipe. So Water sat there, froze because it was not heated. There was a ton of insulation in there. That's why I couldn't, well, I was like, wait, how? I was not feeling it like a breeze or anything like that. It just could have just been ambient temperature that, and then popped it.
Yeah, if it's got a small air path through it, right. And it got as cold as it did, it can definitely come through there.
So
Derek made a comment here on how could you, where's that comment? What can a homeowner do to help pipes from freezing and if the HVAC system fails? So if the HVAC system fails, you want to be trickling water. If you have running water, running water doesn't freeze. So you want a little trickle out of every one of your faucets to allow that water movement, and the moving water will not allow it to freeze until you can get the HVAC system back up and operational.
Right.
So, yeah. Good question, Derek.
Yes, very good question. You know, the other thing too is what's been going on in the news, and there are parts of our country right now that are very vastly hurt by the cold weather. And that's like Texas. Texas is the biggest one on the list right now.
Yeah.
You got Louisiana, Mississippi. You got all the lower end states that don't experience this type of weather. We are well rounded for this weather because we're in the Midwest. These people that are in Texas, this is like just massacre for them because the pipes are freezing, breaking. The electrical grid in that area is very solar and wind, so it's all freezing up, and that's the one thing that sucks.
Right.
So people don't have electric, they don't have heat, water is freezing, piping's freezing. People are not living in their homes because of that and everything. So it's that I really want to say that I put my thoughts and prayers. We do all do for the people in Texas and the southern states right now because they don't get to experience this,
right?
And they're getting hit.
We got another question on Facebook here. Yes, and it's very sad what's going on down there. But here's a question from Jen. I've got tons of snow piles piled up around the house. Should I check the vents, dryer, hot water heater, or anything else, and keep my eye on it? Well, Jen, good thing I'm your husband. So I've already been keeping an eye on that for you.
You know what? That's actually a great question, is because you don't typically want to pile. In my point of view, and if there are other professionals watching this, I don't, with my driveway, I have a very long driveway like yours.
Right.
I don't want to pile snow along my house just because you don't want the snow to melt and then eat away at any siding or anything like that. Water will creep up underneath there, and you don't want that. And then, like with the vents, obviously dryer vent, all that kind of stuff, you don't want that to happen.
Right.
So that you got to get it away. My professional opinion and personal opinion, keep it away from the house.
Yeah, I completely agree. But you get snow drifts and that kind of stuff that will come up. And especially newer systems that were installed and weren't thinking about how snow is drifting. We'll get up against the HVAC pipes and that kind of thing.
Tankless and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, if your dryer's not drying properly, it could have been covered by a pile of snow that, a snow drift or something if you're not paying attention to it. All those things are very important. Your gas meter getting completely covered.
Right.
Could start messing with your gas pressure inside the house. The
regulator getting covered.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moisture getting in there, just being in a smaller spot, could cause that regulator not to regulate the water gas pressure in the house properly. So your outside faucets, if you had your hose hooked to it, are definitely frozen. There's very possible you have damage on your outside faucets if you've left your hose on all winter long. That freezes back up into the house and causes damage also.
Right.
Not immediate damage. You're not going to notice it until spring, until you turn that outside faucet on. But as soon as you turn it on, make sure you're going back inside in that corner of the house and verifying that there's not water running down your walls inside your basement or crawl space or wherever. So what is a professional plumber's point of view on DIY repairs using shark bites for the burst pipes? I'm an electrician. I call the plumber. Brandon.
That is a great. That's a great question.
That is a great question. There are very mixed reviews by licensed plumbers on shark bite fittings. In a pinch, they're not bad as a permanent repair. I do not a huge fan as the for them as a permanent repair. They can be used as a permanent repair, but I'd much rather not see that, because that is going to be still the most easiest fail point, is just because it's a push-on fitting that clamps onto it. If it does freeze, it's going to burst or push apart that fitting.
I've seen it before already. We had one last winter that was the case, and it was a very tight spot, so I understand how it was repaired. But I'm like, I don't think we did this, and it's not in our records that we did it. If you do use, for instance, if you're using shark bites, don't put them and bury them in a wall or a ceiling. You never want to do that. You want to...
Accessible. Always accessible.
So, Brandon, I know you very well. I've known you a very long time. You're an electrician, so... Would you bury a box in the wall and then walk away? That's the biggest question here. So would you do that? I don't think so. I wouldn't bury those. We use those in a super pinch. You want to do it in a repair. So if you can get let's say if it's a sectioned off line, for instance, like a hose bib, the line froze and broke. If you can cap it off, it's an emergency call. Hey, let's just get the water back on tonight. And then get them, and we'll come back tomorrow and make the permanent repairs. Then so be it. Do it.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you, Ellis. You definitely want to make sure that O-ring's in there. I tried to do a temporary repair on their water service to get by overnight, because that is a story for another day. It was an interesting story. But anyways, I put the shark bite on and it blew the O-ring out of it, and it still leaked. So it didn't really help, and I ended up just crimping the pipe and getting the water to stop overnight.
Yeah.
Until I can get all the proper
fittings materials to be
able to fix it all for them.
Most certainly.
Yes, very true, Alice. So you're listening to Dream Home Experts on 216 The Net. Also on Facebook, YouTube. Like, subscribe, share, follow.
Yeah, you can also follow 216 The Net on YouTube also. They are, obviously, we're streaming through them. So you can check them out, comment, subscribe, and on their page also.
Brandon, never, never hide your work is our way of keeping it real. So we're going to move on to our next subject, which is in your corner of the world, is grilling in the winter.
What do you want to know, Mike?
How do you do it?
Well...
Seen some pretty interesting things, like they make forts where they keep their grills. They have like an igloo going on around them while they're grilling. Do you do that?
I have. I've done it. Now, first things first, I'm not a. I feel like I'm a home professional in grilling. It's one of my little passions. But you know, the one person too is listening is Brandon. He can he could talk about that too. Yes, so with this around, I actually had an old Bradford White 40-gallon standard box in my garage when I was living in Bolingbrook. And it was on Christmas Day, and it was very windy that day. And I needed to just stop the wind from just, you know, cranking up the temp on my smoker. Right. So I just took the box, and it was just... You know, you just cut one end. It's still four pieces.
Right.
And I just literally just clamped it together with the big binder clamps and it kept the temp smooth, and it worked out great for me. And I did a rib roast, and it turned out well.
Right.
I can't complain. You know, there are so many different things that you can do when you're grilling, like pellet smokers. You can get a welding blanket and put a welding blanket on a smoke, on that.
You just like drape it over
smoker? So like Traeger, Pit Boss, those Traeger especially, they do have the blankets.
Is that to keep it heat in?
Keep the heat in.
It don't get so cold.
Correct. So you're maintaining that internal temp inside the unit. So you're not you're also conserving fuel when you're doing that.
Right.
So you're not just burning through pellets, because it's just, when it's not being able to keep it, it's going to want to fuel that fire.
Right.
Okay. Like when you get into the offset smokers, the big Mamma Jam, the quarter inch steel. And so you get it hot, you're getting it 250, 275, 300.
Yeah.
You really don't have to worry about it.
Did you say Mamma Jamma?
Did I say that?
Big Mamma Jamma?
The big Mamma Jammas. Yeah, the big boys. the big guys. So like you're getting the big thick steel smokers.
Right. We got a comment here from Bear. What is your favorite thing to cook in the winter?
Everything. I will cook.
There's nothing off the table.
I love cooking everything. Like I did it, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago? I cooked pork chops and I posted it on our page. I mean, like, don't let it stop you from don't let the winter stop you. Like, if you like to grill, keep grilling. Keep on grilling. Because it's your passion. That's what you like to do. You got to provide food for your family. If that's how you want to do it, do it.
Well, your wife just commented. Christina says, if all else fails, and it's too cold to grill, you can just eat the 320 pizza rolls you buy at Costco.
Yeah, I did that today.
You ate 320 pizza rolls?
No. I bought two boxes of them. And then, you know, why do you have to buy that? I'm like, you know what? For 160 of them, for $9, it's a steal from Costco. But it's all right.
Oh, Brandon says there's no grilling like snow grilling.
Yeah. He's doing it all the time.
Right.
He's doing it all the time. He's actually one who pushed me to get a pellet smoker. So anything to prep on the grill? You want to get out. If you want to prep on the grill,
Is there anything to prep on the grill, like to do it in the winter? You were talking about the blankets on the smokers. Is there anything on a regular grill that...
Keep it inside. I mean, keep it in your garage. You know, getting out there, you want to keep your charcoal in a dry place.
Right.
You know, you want to have something that's going to start. If you're using charcoal, I recommend a charcoal chimney.
Right.
And you can have enough... like paper or some type of product that's going to continue to burn so you can get through that and it creates that heat and it starts to start that charcoal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing I would say on that prep. Really, you got to get the grill up to temp to start to cleaning it and everything like that. But anything more than that, I can't say for sure. I can't think of anything else.
Gotcha. Brandon says, make sure that the cord is GFI protected if you put the pellet grill out on the driveway.
You know what?
Aren't most of the outside outlets usually GFI?
Yeah,
unless you're pulling it from inside your garage or something, maybe.
Even when I was at the old house, there were GFI, and I had everybody. There's that speculation. Like on the Facebook pages and whatnot for like pit boss grills and so on and so forth, everyone says like, oh, don't plug it in the GFI. It may trip, this and that. You know, like
outside grilling, I was out on a rotting call in the rain and the GFI just kept continually tripping on me. Like I tried to wrap that thing in a bag and everything to try to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what to, you know, it's like you got to, you know, if you can get to a normal... I don't normally like to plug into a GFI. I've did it for a little while, but if you have, that's the only other thing you could do. Yes. Brandon's talking about safety.
Yes. It is very safe to have a GFI.
Yes. You want that. But if you're doing a long cook, I wouldn't recommend having it into a GFI and you're going for multiple hours and you're not going to be paying attention to it.
Well, that's why you got to pay attention to what you're doing.
Right. That's kind of a scary thing, but
All right. Don't
rely on a GFI outlet. They go bad. They sell pigtails like that on the big job sites. You'll have that on them big jobs, right?
GFI outlets go bad. They're a gift or a curse. Gift and a curse.
Yeah.
It definitely saves lives, but also is a pain in the butt sometimes.
You know, getting also like prep work for, you know, if you have, not everybody has the perks of having like a heated garage or having a nicer garage and having like a kitchen in their garage and whatnot. To me, I'm always just a normal routine. Like, okay, I know what I kind of balance it out. I not balance, but I plan it out in my head.
Right.
Just know I have this much time. The kids got to heat at this time, so I have to plan it out. You know, just getting everything prepped inside and then bringing it outside. And I know if I'm bringing meat outside when it's cold, I don't have to worry about it going bad. Just have to make sure that nothing comes up and grabs it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah.
Mice eating your meat.
Yeah. Mice eating stuff.
Well, that was the other thing you didn't talk about on that frozen pipe in that ceiling is you pulled all that mouse poop out of it.
Yeah, if the Victor put the picture up, someone probably saw it. Yeah, being rained on with poop like that, it's not cool.
It's not fun.
It's not fun.
A poop shower is never a good day.
Yeah, no.
And that happens when you're a plumber.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately.
Got to go bring the show outside for Keith at the grill episode.
Yeah.
Get you out in the cold and grill some stuff.
Well, we still got a month left of winter. So,
It looks like it's going to break next week. So we're gonna start getting some warm up here. So
well, that's good.
Sunday, Monday.
But you know what? That also is going to tie into sump pumps
for sure. Sump pump season's coming, so if you haven't had your sump pumps taken care of, please make sure
and looked at
to call your plumber, have them look over your system. Once again, you're listening to Dream Home Experts on 216 The Nets. Also, find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, share, comment, have fun, get us out there.
Please.
I would appreciate it.
Please.
So, I think that's. We want to wrap, or do we want to talk a little bit about the just kind of an overall at the end here?
You can talk an overall, whatever you want.
So, yeah, we could probably talk for 5 more minutes on just kind of recapping everything we talked about, you know, outside stuff.
Let's touch base on insulation.
Insulation. Okay.
Insulating. Like, what can we do?
That's like a whole subject in itself right
well,
there.
Well, we can.
That's not a 5-minute subject.
I mean, we can touch base. We can dip. We can get toes in the water.
If you want to protect your house, just put a bunch of hay bales all the way around your house, and you'll be just fine. Insulated.
Just dab it, yeah.
That's what they do out in the country.
I believe it. I mean,
you're out in the middle of a field, like that wind comes blasting.
I mean, we've done it on jobs. We've got a hole that's open.
You're protecting the service.
You're protecting.
But you
that.
See the bales just all the way around the house. Like stacked up.
I know you've done a lot of work in the country.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, you've seen it more than I have, but I would believe it.
Yes, prevention, Derek. That's what we're working on. So, let's talk about prevention. So with the frozen pipes outside, the discharge. You want the air gap. You want to go into a larger pipe. You want to keep monitoring it. Also, if you're shoveling around your house, those are things that you can shovel out also.
Yeah, just
making sure that it's not completely buried under 2 feet of snow.
Yeah.
You know, making sure your hose are disconnected, preventing future problems with it freezing and breaking inside your house. Ice damming, prevention would be getting ice salt up there and some pantyhose. Fill a pantyhose with salt.
Preferably colored.
Do you like the nude?
Don't do the fishnets. It's not going
to
work for you.
So you could get some heat tape or heat some kind of heat gutter heating.
Right.
Cable.
Typically, you see where it zigzags.
Glove guard. I think some companies out there like Glove Guard, and there's other companies out there that actually install it like that, or contact an electrician that can do that for you. Mm-hmm. They may have to put in outlets for the heating it up. If you're having a major ice damming issue, then that would be discussing it with an engineer, architect. Rethink outside the box. Just like when my guys were stuck on that job. You know, for a full day, they weren't thinking outside the box. They were focused on water and their plumbers, and they're trying
job.
To chase the water. They're not looking outside. They're not looking at the bigger picture. So don't always get so closed in on a one issue. Start looking outside the box, looking at a bigger issue, what's going on. So if you're having ice damming in certain areas, you got multiple valleys and areas on your roof that are getting the ice damming, then maybe you should be taking pictures, seeking engineer and architectural help
right.
to redo it the proper way so it never happens again for you. What else we got? We got the ice damming. We got the outside pipes. You know, gas regulator. Your intake and exhaust for your exhaust for your dryer. Your intake and exhaust for a sidewall vented, higher efficiency HVAC equipment.
Tankless units.
Yeah, the power vent, any kind of PVC coming out of the wall. Usually all the mechanicals come in the same area, so cleaning that area up so it's not covered in snow.
I've seen PVC venting for tankless water heaters freeze about 10 feet up in the air.
Yep. Garden hoses. Yes, thank you, Victor, for that. Garden hoses definitely need to be disconnected, but I thought I mentioned that.
We went over it.
Prevention, making sure those are disconnected. Golden Shield, he's saying we offer a preventative maintenance that can guarantee your HVAC system running for the season. Yeah,
that's great.
Making sure that, especially in the McHenry, Algonquin world up that and up north, Golden Shield is definitely the guys to go to, and they have maintenance packages that will guarantee that you will be taken care of.
Yeah,
so,
most certainly.
Keeping your – that's pretty much our prevention, unless anybody else has any ideas.
Keep your grills inside.
Keep your grills. So you don't really like my grill sitting out there, do you?
No.
You cringe when you walk by.
Well, I mean, you have a cover on it.
Right.
But you're protecting it from the elements of somewhat.
Right.
You know, like, I like to keep them inside just because it's me.
I got the man cave going on in here, so
yeah, I mean, yes,
like it's very hard to have a grill in here. So maybe I put a shed up, I'll have it in the shed.
You know, it would be a perfect spot for the grill, right? Where that Milwaukee toolbox is.
Well, then where am I going to put the Milwaukee toolbox?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah, that's one thing. Everybody is different. Yep, they like to keep stuff outside. Stuff outside. It's up to you. You do you.
Yep, absolutely. You do you, and that's it.
As simple as that.
Yeah, right.
As simple as that, Jack.
So we're going to wrap it up here. You've been listening to Dream Home Experts on 216.net. Thank you for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, please put them out there. If you got any ideas for shows or things that you want to be talk about, please send us to info@dreamhomeexperts. The Dream Home Experts. Yes.
Sorry, we're still working on stuff. All right. We're getting there.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us tonight. Appreciate it.
The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only and is a generalization of common DIY projects. Each home project may encounter unforeseen issues with specific circumstances that may not be covered in discussion of this program. This program makes no representations as to the completeness of the information and expressly disclaims any implied warranties as to the fitness of the information to any particular purpose. Before starting any projects, it is recommended the homeowner research the skills and proper materials necessary, as well as any and all local requirements for permits. If there is any doubt, it is advised that a licensed contractor be consulted prior to commencing your particular project.